You're listening to Black on Black on Black. You're here with D Fantastic.
Hey, Queen.
foolish behavior.
Shenanigans with the Gans.
Nonsense. Pure nonsense. Well, welcome to listening to Black on Black on Black. We're here every Monday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific time.
In your ear, boy.
Okay.
In your ear.
Okay, queen. So, in case you're new to the show, we are a Bay Area native and a transfer from the Sizzity South. We explore the real San Francisco, finding scenes, creating memes, and being obscene. Listen to the show to find out what's going on in the city, where to find it, and learn about the local artists who make it all happen.
Sipping on some scissors.
We don't have any events for what's going on in the community.
Oh, I can just spitfire some off the top
of my head. Yeah, I know there's something going on in Ashkenaz, and there's a block party, so let them know.
Yeah, so on May 11th, the big date for May, on May 11th. Oh, also, before May 11th, this Thursday at Casements in San Francisco. It's actually right around the corner from where we're at. But there will be... Am I hearing music? I don't know. Is that music in here?
No,
oh, it's outside.
It's outside, yeah.
Yo, that music is loud.
Yeah, okay. I was like, oh my God, listeners, I'm so sorry.
I was like, okay, we have a little bit of background music. Hey.
Totally random. We don't know why it's going on.
So this Thursday, there will be a Palestine and Ireland solidarity event with solidarity music that's going on at Casements, which is an Irish pub here in San Francisco. We have friends who are organizing that event. We have friends who are playing at that event. It is going to be, I believe it starts at 6 p.m.
Yeah, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m.
6 p.m. to 9 p.m.
And it's actually kid-friendly until 9 p.m.
Yeah. Since they serve food and they have a kitchen, they're kid-friendly, so come on down. That one's actually going to be a really, really fun one. So that'll be this Thursday. And then on May 11th, which is next weekend, not this upcoming weekend, the weekend after, there are two events that we also have friends who are playing at. We were talking about them on our last show. The first one will be a Tenderloin Block Party, which we actually have someone later on, a friend rolling through, who probably knows more details about that. So maybe when she gets here, we'll have her speak more about that event. She'll be performing at that. The famous, the infamous, the renowned Shane Zaldiva will be performing at that event. And then later on at night, there will be an event at Ashkenaz, which is in Berkeley. A really, really cool venue. Definitely come through. It's going to be a really good event. I can't remember the exact timing for that, but I'm going to assume it starts at around 8 p.m.
I don't know why I thought 7, but you know what?
Between 7 or 8. Yeah. If you show up at 7, it's still a bar.
Yeah. you will have fun. It's okay. Yeah.
You will still be able to drink. So, and also, I know we're jumping around. This Friday is First Fridays. This Friday is First Friday, and this Thursday, actually, San Francisco is doing their own version of like a First Thursday.
What?
Yeah, on Market Street.
While Casements is going on.
Yeah, well, it'll probably be around the same time, so I'll actually probably come in and probably try to go to both, just to see kind of what they're doing and what that programming is like.
Yeah.
Because they're teaming up with I saw the flyer, there's a lot of different like local community-based organizations that are actually taking part of that. I think even the cultural district might be involved in that block event that's happening in downtown San Francisco. So a lot of happenings off the top of the dome.
Yeah.
Come to the mall.
Yeah,
have fun.
Good job, Queen. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Let's get into it. We have a couple of things going on in the black community. One being, so we talked about this last time, but there is a Good Times reboot on Netflix. Fully animated. And for those who don't know, Good Times was a show in the 70s, which actually was the first depiction of a two-parent household, a black household. So it's a really prominent show in the black community that had a lot of really powerful storylines and a lot of lessons learned. And it just kind of showed the different side of, like, empowered and strength and resilience in the Black community. It was almost like if you take the Cosbys, but, you know, put them in the hood in Chicago, essentially. Mm-hmm. So this Good Times reboot is on Netflix, and it's animated, and it's fucking terrible.
Yeah, it's trash.
Yeah, so we watched one episode just to see if it was just as bad as we thought, and it was.
Yeah, I'm kind of hoping, I think we should continue to watch, and we can just tell you all how much down the toilet, how much down the drain is going to go, or yeah, how bad it is. Yeah. But what I'm kind of hoping, and it's probably not going to happen, is that it starts off in this ridiculous, like, caricature way, and then later on, we just get hit with some real shit. But right now, it's... There's way to do this type of comedy that they're trying to do that is not as disrespectful as what Good Times is, especially considering what the show Good Times meant at the time it came out. Like, to start off in the way that this animated version starts off, I honestly feel like they shouldn't call it Good Times. They need to divorce that. They need to just call this like an off-brand Family Guy. Like a different version of the Cleveland Show. That's what it needs to.
It's the same setup. You've got a fat husband, a conventionally attractive wife, a stupid son, a smart-ish daughter,
militant.
Who's like militantly woke.
Yeah.
And then you have a baby who isn't like a real baby. Like, this is a baby that deals drugs
in the same way that Stewie wasn't like a real baby, right? But except this is a drug dealing, carries a Glock.
Yeah.
Baby, you know.
Yeah. Makes really weird references to breasts.
Yeah, throughout the whole entire time. Yeah. And it's just like, it's pretty wild.
Yeah. So anyways, we'll keep y'all updated, see if we see anything that we find interesting, but it was not great. And again, apologize for the listeners, but yes, there are people jamming out hard, like outside of the street right now, and so I apologize if there's some kind of background.
It's either in the street or it's at the place next door. I don't know which one it is.
I don't know. Okay, so then additionally, we've got this whole thing going on with Brian McKnight. So those who don't know, Brian McKnight is like a big R&B singer, and he has been very problematic. So he had a first marriage, and then they divorced, and then he's on his second marriage with a much younger wife. So he has fully adult grown children through his first marriage to a Black woman. And the current wife now is not Black.
She's Asian, right?
And so for some just completely unhinged reason, he referred to his first children through his marriage with his wife. He called them products of sin. Wild behavior. Yeah. I don't know why. It's so fucking strange. I mean, so basically he's been very vocal about the relationship with his adult children on social media, because they're always kind of beefing because he's kind of a complete asshole. And so he's just really doubling down on his fully Black children. The crazy thing about this all is that he recently named his youngest kid.
This is the wildest one.
The son with his new wife, his young wife, he named that son Brian. So he's a Brian Jr., right? Well, he already has a Brian Jr. from his first marriage. He has a Brian McKnight Jr., and now he has this Brian, four middle names, McKnight Jr. with this other woman.
Just basically completely
dismissing their total existence.
Yeah. I really feel for this situation. It's like probably the worst type. It's like the worst example of Black fatherhood. It's a shame that this is even getting as much attention. I mean, it's getting as much attention as it is because it's just that bad.
Yeah.
It is not within, I would say, what Black people idolize as good fatherhood, as decent fatherhood, as any type of meme of type of fatherhood. And the way that he is like going back and forth with people in comments about his brand of fatherhood, and like referencing there's a lot of church, a lot of God references, a lot of dismiss. I mean, that's where that that basically dismissing his other children by saying that, like, oh, those children cannot be reflections of me. They're products of sin. Therefore, they were always destined to not be of good character.
Yes.
Wild.
Yeah. Yeah.
What? On social media, written, where everyone can see, and it is fully documented. And if your relationship should change, like, you can't take that. You can't take that back. The internet doesn't forget.
No, never. Mm-mm. Never. It's very sad. Just because he's put out some big bangers, like, and so he's very well known within the Black community. And he was one of those guys where I feel like, growing up, you're like, oh yeah, Brian McKnight, wholesome,
yeah,
Black guy, Black
family. He seems like an upstanding man.
And then he just turned out to be a total
trash.
Dick. I don't know why.
Like,
you know, I don't know. I don't know what has spurned this. Do you know anything about like why that is?
I don't know kind of where this character is coming from. I don't know if it was like he got famous and like he just got, maybe he's really narcissistic. I don't know. Honestly, his ex-wife has taken a very high road.
Yeah,
a high road in this. Like, she's like, don't get me wrong, she tells her side of the story, but she tells it from like her firsthand experience.
Yeah.
You know, she doesn't say, well, he did this, he did that. She always talks from like, this was my experience, this is how I am moving forward, and this is how I'm staying uplifted and like just loving on my children.
Yeah.
Which is just, that's what a solid one does.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, 100%, especially, you know, your children are hurting in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard. So
yeah,
you know, anyways, anything else going on in the Black community?
Let's see. I mean, there's always some. Oh, did you see that? Okay, so are you remember back when that Cat Williams?
Yes.
That Club Sassy.
With Shannon Sharp.
What's it called? It's called Club Sassy or something like that?
That interview?
Well, the podcast that it's on.
So the Shannon Sharp.
Yeah, yeah.
I have no idea what it's called.
I think it's called Club Sassy or Club Shash, whatever it's called.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's been doing like a string of interviews since then, right?
Really?
And like each one of them has gotten their own kind of notoriety because
sure.
that Cat Williams one hit off so hard.
Yeah.
This recent one he did with Amanda Seales. Do you know who that is?
No.
So she was on, she's been very outspoken about Black issues via her Instagram. Mm-hmm. She has a master's degree in African American studies.
Cool.
Has been on like the original Deaf Poetry Slam. Like she has some amazing spoken word pieces on there.
Wow.
And she was also on Insecure. So she was she was part of the friend group, the lighter complexion one.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So
who had a kid.
Yeah. So
yeah.
That's Amanda Seales. She also has a wonderful, actually you would really enjoy her stand up. She has a stand up.
Okay, nice.
She has a really good stand up on Netflix that actually is really, really funny.
Okay. Yeah.
And you know, she got invited to come on Club Shashi, Club Sat. I'm looking it up, bro.
Yeah.
And like talk. And you know, I didn't watch the full interview, but there were some things, like, apparently the basic gist of it is that a lot of folks in the Black community were upset because they felt like Shannon spent a lot of time invalidating the instances of racism and honestly mental health struggles that Amanda was talking about that she went through in her life.
Wow.
Yeah, like talking about the fact that she has recently come to the awareness that she is on the autism spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
and how much sense it's been making for her now that she's exploring that.
Yeah.
And that she's seen it, and like Shannon got into this thing, well, like just because like you're brilliant and that doesn't mean you have to have something wrong with you. And she's like she was like, no, that's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying.
I got diagnosed.
Well, she didn't get diagnosed.
Oh Lord.
That's the other thing. Like she said that after the interview, and the reason she said that, why she didn't say that during one, because it felt like he was so much invalidating her experience.
But how are you gonna self-diagnose yourself?
Come on now. She was saying that she wasn't gonna pay $10,000 to get an autism. Yeah, apparently she said it cost $10,000 to get.
Do you not have money?
I don't know, bro. I ain't gonna talk about no one's finances. And then there
not everyone pays $10,000 to get diagnosed with autism.
I would assume, but that's basically what's hurt. Like she doesn't feel like she needs to pay for that.
Now I'm annoyed.
I know. It came out late and I was like,
come on now.
And then the other things that I think she's very valid. Ballot on is that she was talking about her experiences with racism, mm-hmm. Growing up in terms of like being casted for like this Disney thing and having children call her the N-word, and Shannon cuts in and says like, well, is that racism or is that just kids? And she was like, she's like, what do you mean? She's like,
kids can be racist.
Yeah, bro. Like, where do you think that comes from? Where do you think that comes from? That's how racism happens. It is systemic like that. It comes from those types of aggressions to all. But like, he was like, well, that just seems like it's like kids, you know, who don't know any better. Just, he was like, now if the adults, if you had told me the adults in the situation were saying that, then I would be like, yeah.
Okay.
And she was just like, she just looked at him like, what are you talking? And it went on a line like that. There was like multiple times she would bring up experiences of racism, and he would be like, well, is that necessarily, you know, and it looked very invalidating.
Yeah.
You know, and so how it's been popping off on social media, it's like, and Amanda has caught a lot of flack,
mm-hmm.
and because her reputation has taken a hit because of what her castmates on Insecure have said about her being like having an attitude, kind of being a mean girl or like a know-it-all, and like there was an incident where she wasn't allowed into an Issa Rae party after like a major event.
Ooh.
And like there's a video, she actually had to be escorted out, like it was like a major, I know,
spicy,
it was like a major thing that like you know, she kind of has that reputation, but people were watching this and they were like, no, he's invalidating her experiences. Yeah.
Two can be true.
Yeah,
like you can be a complete asshole and also have people be racist to you.
Yeah.
like there's not like one does not mean one doesn't cancel out the other.
Mm-mm.
You know, and I hate that about like society and how we treat people and things. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, how we can take a celebrity and be like, oh my god, they're the best, and then they do one wrong thing and they're like, oh no, they're fucking terrible, and it's like, oh okay, well, are we just gonna completely invalidate like all their work? At the same time, in the same society, we will literally uphold fucking trash people who like beat their wives.
Yeah.
And shit. Like
and rap about it.
And rap and about
talk it. About it. Like, in fact, like, Rick Ross is walking around here.
Yeah, like it's such a weird, we're so very weird about that.
Yeah. You
know? Like it's one thing for a situation like that where you're like, yeah, she can have experienced racism, but she can also be like a bitch. It's another thing and be like, yeah, it's fine. Like, you know, you can handle it both. It's another thing where you have like fucking NFL players being notorious for beating their wives. Like, and you're like, they need to be fired.
It almost feels like Shannon Sharp maybe did some research and realized this reputation that Amanda might have as someone who is maybe too woke. Mm-hmm. Or that's been like the, like she, everything is a constant argument about racism. And honestly, for someone who has a master's in African American, they probably see so much.
They've studied the system.
They've studied it heavy.
I also want to make a point. I think this sometimes happens. I wonder if there's colorism at play here,
mm-hmm.
with Shannon Sharp being a darker man and she's a light skinned woman. Like, I'm wondering if there's almost like a, I mean, yeah, they called you a nigger, but, you know, was it really that big of a deal? Like, versus like, let's say if she was a darker, complex woman, like, would he have said those same invalidating things?
I don't know. Shannon Sharp has sometimes walked that line of an Uncle Tom, I think.
Sometimes,
At some time. So, yeah. I don't know if he actually would have validated.
I've seen that happen for sure. And it's she's still black. She is still black, so.
Like, a black experience, I mean, the one drop rule is a thing for a reason, you know?
Yeah.
And so I don't think we can, I think we can acknowledge that maybe there is some privilege in terms of the tone of your blackness, right? But I don't think that means you have less of a black experience.
Yeah.
Or that you don't get dogged by this system. Like, you for sure will get dog walked for white people, and white systems will take a moment to acknowledge that, like, or just throw in your face, like, darkish. Yeah. You may not be darky, but you darkish.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm wondering if that was a little bit of play, like her both being a conventionally attractive woman and she's lighter skinned and she's a woman. I'm wondering, literally wondering if it was a man. If it was a man, same complexion as him, saying those same stories, would he have said the exact same thing?
Yeah, I wonder if he's, you know? I mean, what people were comparing it to is that Cat Williams up there saying all types of wild things, and Shannon never really invalidated any of the things. Like he kind of sat there and just let Kat talk and Kat control that interview
versus like arguing.
Yeah, versus, you know, arguing or even in the same way, like questioning the experience that Kat had.
Yeah,
whether it was valid or not, or whether it was as he saw it or not.
Yeah,
the most Shannon would say, like, man, these are friends that you're talking about. You don't get me in trouble, right?
Right.
Which is not the same. Like, he maybe said that a couple of times during the Amanda interview, but it wasn't the exact, like, it wasn't that exact tone where he was just like, That's not what I think that is. I think actually what you were experiencing, like almost very much like mansplaining her experience. Yeah. Trash.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think mansplaining and sort of stuff just kind of goes into one of our main topics of today. So today's topic, we're going to continue on with National Minority Health Month. So this is the last Black on Black on Black episode during this month of April. So we wanted to kind of get back into it. And we'll start this episode off with a would you rather. So would you rather guarantee that you'll be healthy for the rest of your life and only die naturally of old age, but you have to be completely sober for the rest of your life, or get $100 million right now, but know that at some point you are going to die of an incurable disease? You don't know when. You don't know what it is.
I know.
But you will die of this disease.
Well, the issue is that there are a lot of incurable diseases that deteriorate your body over a time that you may not get to enjoy that $100 million.
True.
But what you would be able to do is create generational wealth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Potentially with like the next, with like whoever comes out with you for your family. So there's like that kind of consideration. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you don't know when it's going to happen. You can have a good 10 more years and then that incurable disease hits you. Or it can hit you right then and there, like 10 seconds later. Or the next morning when you wake up. And like that would really suck, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas you can have die of a natural old age, which aging is not fun.
but what I'm saying is that you're healthy until your last breath, so you could be.
Am I youthful, or am I just healthy?
No, you're youthful.
Like, am I a healthy 70-year-old, or am I like, you know, I look like I'm in my 20s.
What?
Like, what were we talking about healthy?
When you're 80, you look 80.
Okay, great.
But aging,
you can be healthy and it's still going to bring things, right?
Sure.
Like, your body's still going to deteriorate to some extent. It's probably just not going to be to as bad an extent as it could be if you weren't healthy, but.
Yeah, you're gonna be really healthy.
And also, like, drugs are fun.
They are.
Bro, what are we counting to drugs? Are we talking about alcohol? We're sober?
Yeah, alcohol. Yeah.
God.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing for the rest of your life.
So I'm just living a boring life.
No, you can have so much fun.
Yeah, bro. I'm now gonna be on the natural drugs of adrenaline. I'm gonna turn.
Yeah.
I'm gonna turn to all the white activities. I'm gonna start skydiving and bungee jumping. I just wanna feel something.
Yep, I mean, yeah.
But I'm gonna die of an incurable disease. Can you give me some example? My mind needs to know how, like.
I mean, you could die of Lou Gehrig's disease, which is horrible.
Bro, you went hard for that first one.
Or, like, cystic fibrosis.
It's just going to be painful.
Like, what are you talking about? Like, what? Early onset Alzheimer's. Like,
I mean, I guess I'm going to be the sober person that just... Because, I mean, I don't plan on having kids, so... And my nieces are well taken care of and will be well taken care of. And, you know, I would love to have, wait, hold on. I'm sorry. I keep forgetting that sober part.
You're like really sweating over this.
I'm having a hard time. Yeah. I'm having a hard time.
Yeah.
Because there's still like so many drug experiences I still want to have.
I know.
Like I still want to do ayahuasca.
Yep.
Like
we haven't done that yet.
I know. I want to go places and like go on like different journeys with friends who occasionally go and do those types of ceremonies. Uh-huh. You know. And I do feel
you can just pretend.
Pretend what?
I don't know.
I was gonna be in the corner.
yeah, like that. Yeah, just vibing.
Bro, I would be the most delusional person you've ever met in your life, bro. Your life. I guess I probably would get real deep into my kinkness. I will tell you that much.
Okay.
I probably would get real deep into that.
Okay, so which one are you choosing?
I guess I'm going to choose the health thing. Oh, God. I'm going to be so miserable. I'm going to be so upset.
You won't be.
I will. I will be very healthy. And I think that's... I think for me in the types of things... Like, I love to go salsa dancing. I love going on vacations to go salsa dancing and to drink.
Yeah.
But I guess that's not an option for me anymore. I would just get real deep into some probably weird things. I would get real deep into some weird things. Yeah. Like, I might become, like, some sort of a race car driver. Like, I'm going to do some extreme...
First black woman in F1.
I'm going to do some extreme things for adrenaline. Yeah. I don't know. What about you?
I have to take the first one. Why are you laughing?
Just give it $100 million. And give
no,
me the,
oh. I said the healthy sober one.
Oh, see,
one.
My 100. Okay.
No. Yeah, dude, I have a baby now.
Yeah.
I can't.
Yeah.
I want to be around for whatever. And I cannot imagine, like, being diagnosed with an incurable disease and having to tell her that.
Yeah.
And, like... Just seeing her eyes and seeing that, like, and her knowing that her mom is gonna die, like, sooner than she thought. I can't, man.
Bro,
there's not enough money in the world that I think could actually, like, make me want to go through that. I, like, feel nauseous thinking about it.
Yeah, no.
So,
I don't,
you know, I'm the same way. I would get really fucking weird. I'm gonna get into some weird shit.
I'm gonna get into some real weird.
But you know what? I'm gonna be ripped.
Yep.
I'm going to be fucking gripped. My body's going to be stupid.
Yeah. I'm probably going to be able to start my own thing after a while.
Yeah.
I can probably start making money. I'm going to make money somehow off of the very weird things that I'm into.
Yeah.
Like,
it's
going to happen.
Exactly.
Whether
exactly.
I'm a health influencer, I'm out here booking private things for a kink session. I'm going to get really good at some really weird things.
So, speaking of things, I'll probably get into some music. First up is Strength, Courage, and Wisdom. By India RE.
Aye.
made the choice because I'm scared of the things that I might be missing. Running too fast to stop to listen. It's time to step out on faith. I gotta show my face. It's been elusive for so long. Freedom is mine today. Step out on faith. It's time to show my faith. Procrastination had me down. Look what I have found. I found strength, courage, and wisdom. It's been inside of me all along. Strength, courage, and wisdom inside of me.
Bring the baby down. I'm about to be a father. The sight, the sound seem brighter around me. And for starters, I know I'ma work harder. Work. We got home at 3 a.m. I was beat. Them contractions started coming as soon as I fell asleep. 3:05. Like every 5 minutes, then the water broke. We ought to go. Yelling at the cab because he's sort of slow. You know them hospitals all trying to get paid. No questions.
Right.
Look at the doctors with me drugs trying to do C-sections. But my baby stays strong and labor for day long. 8-pound baby boy to carry my name on. Joy.
Yeah, I know how you feel. Quali, I know how you feel.
That's the sound of joy.
Say, my brother, I know how you feel. Quali, I know how you feel.
That's the sound of joy.
Have a C-cup in the world. Say, dog, that shit's real.
That's the sound of joy, y'all.
Quali, you wonder how you feel. Quali, you wonder how you feel.
June 10th, 1999. I've been on the grind since the birth of my son. It's been about way more than rhymes. Baby on the way, my lady glowing today. At least that's what the midwife said on the phone. Anyway, the music got me going away like every day. But it's a blessing, so I gotta have patience.
True.
And she got pregnant on a Jamaican vacation. So it's all good. This time we'll have the baby in the house. I went the hospital route. I know what they all about.
Never again.
So I'm out on tour in Baltimore. I get the call around four when the water hit the floor. Damn, I gotta rock my show, but I gotta go. Got second thoughts about her not going to the hospital. I left the show early, most held me down. Good looking. Call the car service light, take me straight to Brooklyn. Got the news in the car, stay sort of calm. But I cried tears of joy when they put my daughter in my arms. I'm precious.
So I know how you feel. So I know how you feel.
My precious joy.
So I know how you feel.
Yeah.
Well, I know how you feel.
My precious joy, y'all.
So I know how you feel.
Yeah.
So I know how you feel.
My precious joy.
Let me know how you feel.
Yeah.
So I know how you feel.
I do it for the seed, y'all. In their formative years when they need y'all. We gotta believe in what we can. Y'all, it's deep, y'all. I give them the truth so they approach the situation with ammunition. I keep nothing away. They hear everything because they know how to listen. Teach them the game so they know their position. So they can grow and make decisions that change the world and break old traditions. They put kids in jail for a life they ain't even get to start. The murder too, and it's breaking my heart. It's breaking our nation apart. We gave the youth all the anger. It's just we ain't taught them how to express it. And so it's dangerous. You can't talk to them unless your language is relating to what they're going through. So busy ignoring them, you can't see what they're showing you. And you wonder why we call baby daddies and baby mamas. When we grow up, we can act like adult mothers and fathers. Yo, I'm so blessed to have a boy and a girl. Every day they bring joy to my world.
Yeah, know how you feel. Kwali, I know how you feel.
It's the sound of joy.
And brother Kwali, I know how you feel. Brother Kwali, I know how you feel.
Precious joy.
Kwali, I know how you feel. Say, Kwali, I know how you feel.
You my joy, yo.
If you know how to be, you feel. Let them know they know how you feel.
Yo, do it for the seeds, y'all. Do it for the seeds, y'all. Yeah, do it for the seeds, y'all. Yeah, do it for the seeds, y'all.
Right from the BR double O, don't show a mind, double mind, from the front and behind, top and all side, black star, most of make the 45, the KW, the
LI. Queensbridge, baby, no doubt, no doubt, no doubt, no doubt, no doubt. Not niggas I really met through music shit. It be some real thuns I grew up with. Phone calls from the fans, long story so fast. Wishing they get home in a hurry, cause we the last of a dying pack of lions. Nightmares of the cast, thoroughbred surviving, you know. Welcome home, Ronnie Bumps, and love the callie. That boss ordered us lobster tails late night in 40. We was out there trying to rid the stress. Had a beat take from stretch, rest. Black tech, black vest, to master dark aura. We hit the city deep in the explorer. Looking at the source, wish I was the cover story that was coming shortly. Cars back then had brought back then. Rest in peace of you, good men. The guard star Kim. I pop a bottle. We not promise tomorrow. Showing love is the motto. Flicks a cowboy hat strapped like desperados. They lit, went out the chamber. No iron fired in a vegetative state. When that man China died, stomped out on 12th Street. Memory fails me. Heard homie was a real G. That's what they tell me. I was the one to run through the functions. No funny acting. And it was me that introduced many to money bags and Grandmaster Vic. DJs, Disco Twins, from the towers to Promenade, host a party up in Starless, they know Queens in the house. No beef for rivals, they playing either a title. Brothers can do anything when they decide to win the Range Rover. Dissecting bars from Takeover. Sometimes I text over like, nigga, this ain't over. Laughing, I had to hold it down for Queens, cause I overvalue fiends. Shout to Brooklyn all between. Hoods be overlapping, subways be stacked. And I ain't been on a train in decades, and I can still hear the wheels on the tracks. Feel the beat break, serial deface for Jakes. A license to carry still ain't safe in New York State. There's still a lot of ways to manage the life expectancy average. The future of our next generation ain't been established. Conflicted by some of the same patterns that had us. Money and social status, tell me what really matters. So who are you when they turn off all the cameras? With me, you know the answers. Go ask Tony Bennett. Terrace on the Park, they gotta know. DJ Clue, Envy and Camilo. We're my most beautiful queens in the house. When you see me at awards or a popular place, I see chains shining, I wanna stock it over my face. Coordinated, try to see me by some popular names. For a second, I'm on some shit like it was back in the days. But dudes would really put that thing onto your ribcage and pull a switchblade, do anything. It's the bridgeway, but I go through, roll through, just sold out the O2.
Slipknot niggas, I really met through music shit. It be some real thugs I grew up with. Phone calls from the feds, long stories so fast. Wishing they get home in a hurry, cause we the last of a dying pack of lions. Nightmares of the cast, thoroughbred surviving, you know. No doubt, no doubt, no doubt, no doubt. No doubt, no doubt, no doubt, no doubt. I'm on some shit, boy. Make it a classic tonight. That money getting burrowed by that action, that's right. Thunderous.
What up, Thunny Thun Thun?
Mad Thunderous.
Okay, now.
Manhattan keeps on making it. Yeah. Brooklyn keeps on taking it. Yeah. Bronx keeps creating it. Yeah. And Queens keep on caking it. Shouts to the West Side, to the Six Borough, Far Rock, South Side, and North Side.
Queens in the house.
And we're back with Black on Black on Black. You're here with D-Fantastic.
Queen Queen.
What's wrong with you?
Totally natural process.
No, okay. It is, but
it's your fault if I queen. It has nothing to do with me.
That's true. Welcome back to Black on Black on Black. And today, speaking of your vaginal health, this month is National Minority Health Month for April, which is awesome. So let's actually get into it. So National Minority Health Month was started just to acknowledge the huge disparities in, like, health amongst minorities. I mean, duh. But I kind of want to just go over, like, some really interesting statistics. So these are statistics surrounding, like, non-black minorities. Really, bro?
I
want to
sit down.
What's wrong with you?
That's important for my health. I need to sit.
By the way, that's her queefing. That's what it sounds like.
Just snail drawn on the floor.
I mean, my shoes are stuck in the floor right now. Mm-hmm,
No one's ever complained.
They have.
To my face.
They've
anyways.
Told me. So for Hispanics or Latinx, they have the highest uninsured rates of any racial or ethnic group within the United States.
The highest what?
Uninsured rates. So in 2020, nearly 50% of Latinx people had private coverage as compared to 73% for non-Hispanic whites. You know? I mean, I think the health insurance industry already is just horrible.
Yeah. Is that like a... I guess you would consider that a health statistic. I might consider that an economic related.
It's both, though.
Yeah, I guess it's both.
I mean, your health is almost like...
It's intrinsically tied.
Yeah, to how much wealth you have.
For
you
sure.
You know? And so, yeah. I mean, if you are not insured, your likelihood of actually visiting doctors and like going to emergency rooms and those sorts of things are way, way down.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I would love to see a one-to-one comparison between that statistic and almost every other kind of like long-term ailment that could be, and see kind of like, is there, what's the tie there?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's an interesting one to start off with in terms of, because my mind doesn't immediately think health statistic, but I think that's because I can associate like medical care so much like just a financial thing, a super financial decision versus like a health decision, but that's just because of the way our society is set up.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, health insurance is fucking... I honestly, like, I fantasize about just starting my own insurance company.
Bro.
You know? Like, getting all of my friends on it and being like, hey, guys.
I would be your first subscriber.
We're all... Everyone, we're all just gonna put in money into this bank, okay? Into just this account. And then when... And then when you need issues or whatever, it comes out of that account. You know, like why the hell? I don't know. I don't get it.
What's your dental looking like? Because let me tell you, the amount of money I just had to spend on one raggedy ass tooth. I'm ready to kill.
And your raggedy ass mouth,
bro. Hella, take it. You can take the whole mouth. I was this close to being like, how? Just take the tooth. And no one will see it. Yeah. They really had to talk to me like, you know, it's worth saving. The structure is still there. Yeah, bitch, for $5,000, the structure better be there. The structure.
Five G's.
The root canal, the crown, bro. Mind you, I think for that, I had to come out of pocket $3,000 of that.
Yeah.
Like $3,200 of that.
Yeah. And yeah. See, if you're on my health insurance plan, we just would have paid the whole thing.
Bro.
You know?
Bro.
Like, I just...
The reparation. Starts now.
It's so wild.
Just name it reparation help. Reparation help.
It's awful. And I don't even know why dental and eye is different than, like, other types of medical insurance. Because I'm telling you right now, if I didn't have glasses or contacts, I literally would be impaired. Yeah. I could not drive. I wouldn't be able to get on, like, public transit because I can't see. Like, I honestly I can't see. I don't know fucking Braille. I don't know how blind people get around. Like, I don't know what the fuck.
I'll just feel some bumps and know that those aren't accidents, but those are words.
Yeah. Like, I'd be fucking visually impaired. And I'm so envious because, like, there's two people that I have in my life that do not need glasses or contacts. Yeah. It's wild. I'm like, so you just wake up every day and can just see?
I'm the only person in my family that's needed glasses.
Really?
Yeah, bro. My mom is just now really starting to need glasses. My dad still doesn't wear glasses.
What?
Yeah. Neither one of my brothers wear glasses. I'm the only one who's this like, and I'm severely impaired.
So you got raggedy ass teeth and raggedy ass eyes,
bro. Like. Natural selection was raggedy. Like, we really didn't want you to be here. Yeah. Like, you just keep surviving.
You just stay around.
Yeah, I remember talking to my employer when I was telling them, like, hey, I really need, like, better dental care because I'm in a process of right now of fixing my like, relationship with dental health, particularly because I had some really bad experiences when I was younger. Like, I've had my lip busted by dentists.
Bro,
do you want to see a black mom go off? Bust that child's lip during a doctor's appointment that they have to pay for, and then tell that mother that. That child came there like that. Yo, you want to see someone get real, real fucking ghetto with you?
Yeah, yeah.
Do that.
Yeah, that would, yeah.
I constantly had dentists who were trying to convince me that I needed to put braces on my front tooth too because I have a slight gap.
Yeah.
And like my mom just got real annoyed. And so I don't think we kept up as well with our dental appointments as we could, which has resulted in me having a lot of issues later on. And I think I am someone who's just prone to having cavities. That's just the truth. And so I'm trying to fix that relationship now. It's hard because money.
Yeah.
If this was purely a mental and emotional thing, I think I could get through.
Dude, I love going to the dentist.
Yeah,
if I was rich, I would get my teeth cleaned like once a month.
Wow.
Oh, I love it. That feeling when they're like in your mouth and like scraping away like near your teeth.
Bro.
You know, like I'm right at the edge of your gums.
Okay.
It's like,
all
right.
I'm getting so much anxiety.
It's like scratching an itch. You just can't scratch.
I'm getting so much anxiety. Man, to put a cap on, they had to give me like two deep gum injections because it just kept feeling.
Now,
painful.
The injections suck, of course.
Yeah. But, you know, but some of them aren't that bad. It's the deep gum ones.
I just don't like needles.
Yeah, that's right. I forget that.
Yeah.
Actually, a lot of the injections aren't that bad. The ones that were bad are like the deep gum injections, and that's when they really want you to not feel anything. Mm-hmm. Those ones, man, they just feel like they take forever.
Yeah.
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 But back to the statistics.
Yes. Additionally, Hispanics/Latinx have higher rates of obesity than non-Hispanic whites. And so I think this also plays into food deserts. I think food deserts are a big issue with this, as well as lack of time for cooking quality meals. Plus, spoilage of said quality meals is a big factor.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I mean, obesity is such a huge, like, it's a multifaceted issue.
Yeah.
So if you have parents who are both working more than one job, right? Like, how are they then able to cook, like, healthy, nutritious meals consistently, mm-hmm. and have you eat those healthy, nutritious meals consistently?
Yeah.
Instead of just like going to go get stuff, and because nutritious meals, they spoil faster. Like, they're home cooked, so you have anywhere between 3 to maybe 7 days of making it last in the fridge, and that's it.
Yeah.
You know, for something that's frozen, something that you can just buy, like fast food and stuff like that, it's just easy to get, you know?
There's things that are very starchy that just last for a while.
Yeah, like exactly.
Beans, rice, things that you can just have for like up to, for a really
and,
long
and they
time.
Fill you.
Yep.
Salads, like that you don't feel as full off of that. Mm-hmm. Or, I mean, and not just salads, but you've got, you know, like healthy sandwiches. You've got, you've got your meat and your veg and stuff. Like people just don't feel very as full off of that, you know, so that leads to just non-nutritious meals, you know.
Absolutely.
So interesting, the tuberculosis rate for Native Americans has been comparatively high. Back in 2012, I know it's pretty an old statistic, but it still stands. I mean, the TB rate for Native Americans was 6.3% compared to 0.8% in the white population, which is wild. Mm. And I think this is especially part of an issue because it's a preventative, it's a disease that can be prevented.
Yeah.
You know? So it's just lack of access, I think.
I wonder if it's lack of access or just lack of trust within, like where those things are being supplied from.
Yeah. That, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Which I feel like the indigenous community here and the black community have big cases for not trusting where medicine is being provided.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And let's see, the rate of suicide is highest for male, like Native Americans and Alaskan Natives.
And is it Alaskan Natives because of sunlight?
I don't know. But who are also more likely than any other racial or ethnic group to die by unintentional injury, which is like 12.6% of all deaths.
Huh.
Yeah.
I wonder what kind of injuries those are. What's good?
Yeah.
What's good?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it could be one of those things where if you're on the reservation, you know, are you seeking medical care specifically inside the reservation? Like you feel lack of, like your lack of trust on outside reservation, facilities,
yeah,
you know? And so if you're doing a lot of like hard work, backbreaking labor, like in res, and you get hurt there, you know, are you likely to go outside of the reservation where you're more than likely looked down upon? Because racism is still very strong against Native people.
Well, it does make me think about my homegirl who's like a quarter Paiute. Her mother's half Paiute. Her grandmother, before she passed, was full Paiute, living on a reservation. And her sister, for a while, was thinking about going to live on the reservation, but she had a child, and there just wasn't a lot of access to like health stuff to make it like really worth it. Even though the housing was cheap, everything else though was just not as good of quality as she would have wanted to raise her child in.
Yeah,
including access to food, including access to health, including access to education, or like early education, just was not. There's just not a lot of investment in that, or just a lot of funds allocated to doing those things. So they're significantly what some might consider subpar.
Yeah.
And so I wonder if that also means for like their medical facilities that they're just lacking like proper equipment or just access to different things. And maybe there is a deep distrust of going into outside of, maybe there might be even being, you know, they might even be discouraged from doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Understandable.
Yeah, I mean, it's just there's power in like a strong community, but there can also come with isolation. You know, like, I mean, I know that Jewish people have experienced that throughout history, right? Mm-hmm. Like such very strong communities that are considered they're considered isolationists. Yeah. They don't fit into the surrounding communities. They don't assimilate.
Yeah.
And that ends up just causing major unnecessary friction between like communities that have their own resilience and what they're considered outside communities. So I could see something like that happening for like indigenous peoples.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, especially when it comes to reservation stuff in Alaska, for sure. My God. Mm-hmm. One last interesting statistic I wanted to add in is that Asian Americans have the highest incidence and mortality rates of liver and stomach cancers, the most preventable cancers, largely due to high prevalence of related infections such as hepatitis B. In addition, Asian Americans have the lowest cancer screening rates and are typically diagnosed at a later stage compared to other racial and ethnic groups. Which is pretty interesting, you know?
Yeah, considering how many, considering their representation within the medical field.
Yep.
That actually is really shocking to me, because I would think about representation in medical field would translate into some of these more preventative things being done at higher rates within that group. But,
sure, yeah. But again, is it just distrust? You know, I think there's just a lot of distrust between people of color and just the medical community at large.
Yeah,
you know, especially let's say you don't speak like English is your second language, you already have a hard time with that.
Yeah.
You go to a white doctor or doctor that doesn't speak your primary language, you know, you get frustrated.
Yeah.
You may also are more not susceptible, but more akin to utilize medicines that are more like traditional medicines.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're like, okay, well, I have this sort of ailment, I'm going to seek this out that my family has used for generations, versus like going into a doctor because, you know, like
I do wonder how many of these statistics are because of things like language justice. I think growing up in the Bay Area, it's a different. I would be interested looking up these statistics. I think there's a lot of work done in the Bay Area around language.
There is
language
there
justice is. And understanding the population that's being served and making sure there's language interpretation available.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like an immediate like red flag if some sort of an institution that's supposed to provide public goods or medicine doesn't have language interpreters available. So I would be curious about how much of this could be solved for non-black people.
Yeah.
How much of this could be solved through such things like language justice being more of a United States kind of initiative?
Absolutely. I think it's just incredibly frustrating that we're such a huge melting pot, and yet, like, we have issues with language barriers.
Yeah,
you know?
Gaps. Like,
yeah.
Like, hell.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And that it's made so political.
Yeah. And
so
I'm like, please. Like, people just want health care, man.
Meanwhile, the rest of the world's looking at us like, y'all only know how to speak one language? The fuck, y'all don't? That's why y'all don't travel, because you can't talk to nobody.
Yeah. Fair.
No, I speak patois.
It's just up. Your most tenable second language is Spanish.
Man, that's saying something.
And that your grasp is weak.
It's weak.
It's wet. It's a wet noodle.
My ability to understand is way better than my ability to speak it back. Like,
you're
doing
okay, though.
I mean,
at least you know something.
I know how to give directions and number. I know how to find my way to where I need to eat.
Oh my god.
If food is involved, baby. my language and food is very wide.
I can only imagine.
Now, trying to have a basic conversation.
I mean, I'm sure you know. I'm sure you also know how to say you're cute or you're hot.
I mean, it's muy guapo.
Okay.
Yeah. Guapa. Because I would like to flirt, but I do not know how to say I would like to take you home.
I mean, wouldn't you say something like "Yo quiero to a mi casa leave"? You know.
Here to go.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, without well,
conmigo somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, Google Translate has been a good friend abroad. Honestly, when in doubt, Google Translate it out. Like,
see, and this is a problem I'm gonna have if we ever go to Oktoberfest, bro. Like,
I cannot wait, Dee. I cannot wait.
Y'all, I am not the only German speak. Like, y'all,
I'm about to look at you. So, Dee, if you wouldn't mind telling this Aryan man.
Yeah. So, for those who don't know,
do you have a condom?
For those who don't know, I speak German pretty well. You know, I studied it for a long time in college, and then I've just continued to like study it. And my honeymoon was actually in Germany, and I killed it. We were in parts of Germany that like no one spoke English, and I was nailing it. It was fine. It's very confusing because my husband is white and I am not, and people turn to him to like, you know, to ask questions, and I was like,